Hello, everyone. This is Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, and welcome to another edition of Ask Me Anything featuring Aaron Stevens. With me on the show, of course, Aaron Stevens, formerly Damien Sandow in the WWE, the Hall of Famer Steve Carney of WDAE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida, and Giancarlo Aleno of Barn Burner. Of course, you could hear this on 108 platforms. Also on the OSG Sports app, and now on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. All right, Aaron, let's get to it. How was your week?
Everything was pretty smooth out here. So really no complaints at all. We didn't have any mudslides. That was always good. And other than that, yeah, it's just aside from a little bit of rain, we're doing okay.
I hear you went to a big concert. Steve was telling me about that.
Yes. So this was an interesting evening. So a buddy of mine said, "Hey, I have tickets to a concert at the Forum," and I had never been to the Forum in LA, which is a great building, by the way. And I was like, really not that into it, right? And then apparently my other friend, because he had three tickets, wanted to go because we were going, and needless to say, to make a short story long, so to speak, I really didn't want to go see this band. Neither did my friend. Neither did the person who got the tickets. And we all ended up going like, this is really weird. You know, it's kind of like an episode of that Bandersnatch from Netflix. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, we ended up going to the concert, having an awesome time, and rocking out, which was pretty good. So, yeah, you know what, kudos. There goes to show you have an open mind, and even when you don't want to do something but you're being pulled in a direction, go do it.
All right, so just
if it's safe.
If it's safe, that's right. Just a side note here, I'm going to ask the first question from Julie Hinton Green. By the way, Julie Hinton Green has a new show debuting here on Barnburner Fired Up tomorrow, Wednesday, around 2 p.m., Julie Hinton Green, Living in the Now. And I'll spoil it, Aaron. Let's spoil it. Julie Hinton Green and Jenna Greenspoon, who interviewed you on the Christmas edition, will be back for a Valentine's Spectacular with Aaron. Are you thrilled for that one? And did you get the chocolates ready, Aaron?
Wow. You know what? That's pretty amazing. I never thought I would have my own Valentine's Day special. But, wow, this is right up there with one of those Christmas specials when you were kids. I think there was, I don't know, like the Charlie Brown Christmas special and things like that, where it's like an extravaganza.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Giancarlo, you started off. Ask a fan's question to Aaron.
So this fan must have tuned in last week and heard our discussion on Christmas decorations, and they want to follow up on that and say, what do you think of people who have Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving?
Well, I mean, again, we need to define before Thanksgiving, right? Is this before Thanksgiving as in they've been up since last Christmas? You know, because back where I come from, there are a few people that do that, and there's no shame in that. Or is it like it's Halloween and you're putting them up? I don't know. However, I don't think they should be lit before Thanksgiving, just to honor the Thanksgiving holiday. And let's be thankful for what we have, and you know, of the month of indulgence that's coming up. You know, before we take part in that, I think we should just be thankful for what we have and kind of reflect and really make Thanksgiving something again.
All right, Steve, go ahead and read a fan's email question.
Well, I was going to say there's a big difference between having your Christmas decorations up before American Thanksgiving versus Canadian Thanksgiving, as well as Joe and Giancarlo will definitely attest to there. You know, there's a lot of questions on your Instagram feed. And again, for those that are looking to submit a question to Aaron for asking anything, you want to follow him on Instagram at the Aaron Files. There's a lot of AEW questions on here, Aaron. And I know that right now your focus is on your acting career. But, you know, I'm curious as to what you're thinking, what your thoughts are about Cody and the Jackson boys putting together AEW and what it means for the wrestling community as a whole.
Well, I think, you know, number one, competition in any avenue, in any arena is good. I would argue it's great, you know, in healthy doses. And what I think AEW is doing, they're trying to create a product that is unique out there, that is presenting professional wrestling, but presenting it in a way that is really not being done today. And I think it's a way that a lot of people would like to see it. And you know what? Have the athletes that perform, have they gone like way up as far as the caliber and everything? Absolutely. You know, is the quote-unquote wrestling style a little different? Of course. But there's also a lot of, you know, unchanging things in the business, like the wheel, you know. The wheel doesn't work. It'll always be round, but it always, you know, is, you know, it's always going to be there, right? You know what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that just work in terms of, like, the simplicity, good storytelling. And, you know, I really think that these guys are going to be forced to be reckoned with. And then I'm also, you know, especially because of who Cody's father was and everything, for him to be doing what he's doing, I think that's absolutely amazing. And, you know, I don't think there's anyone that would or is – or I'm sorry, that could be or is more proud of him than Dusty.
Right. So next question from a fan. What is your opinion on Australia always changing its prime minister every 2 years?
Well, you know something? That's a very interesting question. I really don't know Australian politics that well. Maybe it could be a good thing. Maybe, you know, the more choices you have, or the, I guess not the more choices, but the quicker you can make a choice, wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. But of course, with the way some governments move very slowly, you know, 2 years isn't really a lot of time to do what you got to do. So I would have to just say, you know what, if it's working for Australia, awesome.
All right. And before Giancarlo asks, there's a lot of questions and you always answer this every week. So let's get it out. Will you return to wrestling in the near future? Every week you answer the same question once and for all. Just answer.
Hey, you know what? That means we're gaining viewers every week.
Well, we're always gaining viewers. 108 platforms.
I'm sorry. Not viewers. I'm thinking listeners. I'm sorry. We're gaining listeners every week.
Yes.
So, but no, you know, you never say never. Right now, things are going awesome. I'm really, really happy with what I'm doing, with where I'm at. But, you know, you never know. Maybe the right offer comes up. Maybe I just have an itch to want to get back in the ring. So do I plan on it? No, but I'm not going to guarantee that I'm going to stay away. So okay. That's answered like a true politician.
That's right.
It's either yes or no, right?
That's right. Okay, Giancarlo, go ahead.
We've got AnisBK022 who writes in, it's a two-part question. Knowing how talented you are, if you were ever offered to play a Joker role, would you ever go through the depths of psychological trauma that the character had been through? And also, what are your thoughts on method acting?
Short answer to that question, without knowingly traumatizing myself, absolutely 100%. You know, it's funny because where I'm at in the field I'm in, you know, I did some Shakespearean acting classes just to kind of get a base for what theater is and kind of learn everything from the ground up. But as I got into like these, you know, more like film and TV acting classes, I quickly realized that the way I am, and this goes for wrestling too, how I go as far as I can into that other person, whoever that person is, and not lose myself completely. But if it was for something like the Joker, I mean, would I try to kind of like create the circumstances externally so I could internalize them and give a better performance? Absolutely, 100%. And I think, like, when you lead into method acting and stuff, to me, you know, when I kind of hit my stride out here, you know, that I'm just hitting, apparently, so it's like, I forgot about the intellectual side. You know, you have to know how to take direction, right? If a director is telling you one thing or another, you're going to have to be able to go with it. You know, much like in a wrestling ring, where if the crowd's kind of buying one thing, all right, let's do more of that. So you got to be able to, you know, improvise, but at the same time, you almost have to be in such a frame of mind to where any decision you make on that character is the right one. You know, I equate this to when I was Sandow. I never knew that I held a mic like a wine glass until I think it was Goldust pointed it out, right? It's just something I did. Like, it was, to me, that's where the most authentic performances come in. I know I'm being a bit long-winded here, forgive me, but that was an excellent question. And yeah, like, I am going to say, like, yes, to go as far as you can to understand, like, what this character eats for breakfast. I mean, what flavor chewing gum does he like? Like, things like that that I've just always kind of done without knowing I was doing it, you know, have worked for me, and that's what I'm sticking with. So,
okay, Steve, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to ask the question that I know you've been looking forward to this week, Aaron, and it comes from Collar and Elbow. Shout out to Collar and Elbow. Have you ever attempted to procure an automobile with Kenny Bolin? There is a story here. I want to hear it.
Well, I'm going to say this. You guys are aware who Kenny Bolin is.
Yes.
Giancarlo, you know who he is?
I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
Well, look him up. And
all right.
You'll know who he is. He has a very successful podcast, The Bolin Alley, and that's something to be said. But I am going to do my best to describe Kenny Bolin. do you guys remember the original Dukes of Hazzard?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So do you know how, like, smooth Boss Hogg was, and always, like, you know, being able to kind of talk? He was the boss of the town, but he'd talk his way out of anything. And, you know, he always had his view on things.
Oh, yeah. Snake oil.
And I know King will probably be listening to this. So I am aware, King, that you're listening.
Shout out, King.
But no, and King, by the way, I am going to say this. He is a dear friend of mine. I mean, one of the only people that I still talk to from the wrestling business in general. So that's just shout out to him. But anyways, so if you picture the Boss Hogg, okay, now back home, right, there's Louisville, there's the Ohio River, and then there's Indiana, right? So we call that whole area Kentuckiana. That's where it's colloquially known, okay? So King B, or Kenny Bolin, is like the Boss Hogg of Kentuckiana. He drives around in his Cadillac. The windows, I mean, they're tinted black. And the license plate says King B on it. He has television sets in his visors. you know, honestly, we are going to have him on this show, because there are so many stories about him people wouldn't believe. In fact, just not even 20 minutes ago, I was telling someone the Colonel Sanders story.
Oh,
and yes,
no.
I'm talking about, you know, that guy with the white suit that everybody's dressing up as? No, I'm talking about the actual Colonel Harlan Sanders from Corbin, Kentucky.
Yep.
And the owner of the KFC franchise, the Yum Corporation owns it. But there is a Colonel Sanders story. There is a story. You know something? I don't know if I can say that for legal purposes, but King B has been known to get many free cars. And I can't say I ever got a free car because of him, but I'll say this. I never ran out of gas money after I bought the car, you know. And yeah, so that's King B for you.
I just have to add.
Shout out to Collar and Elbow for that one.
I have to ask.
Yes, shout out to Colin Elbow, and we are going to have King B on the show to talk about one of his exploits. I mean, honestly, we may have to have him every month because there's so many things to cover with that man.
So if he's the boss hog, Aaron, if he's the boss hog, who's Roscoe P. Coltrane?
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I mean, it's pretty much a one-man operation with King.
On that note,
the autograph signing at the funeral, I'm not even going to get into it. No, you guys are laughing. I didn't know this was happening. Okay, and when I'm sitting there trying to pay my respects and someone drops a stack of 8x10s in front of me and hands me a Sharpie and says, start signing something. Okay. No. You guys laugh at that. That happened. Okay, that actually happened.
That's incredible.
We'll have him on, and he already said, in fact, I talked to him last week, and I guess he's a little bit under the weather right now. It's very cold in Kentucky and around this time. The Ohio Valley has a very high-pressure system, so people get sick, and so he's recovering, so I hope he's getting better. But he just said he'd love to come on and talk, and, I mean, that's so funny that this question came up because now we're going to have to get the King on here and have him come through about some things.
Well, how apropos is the next question then? What do you think of the ridiculous government shutdown? I can't speak about this because me and Giancarlo are Canadian. But Aaron, go ahead.
You know what? I just think it's like enough is enough. And at this point, you really do have to look at the woman, the man that's getting up, going to work, not getting paid, that has a family to feed, has bills to pay. And this is not, in my opinion, something that should be going on. And that's, look, I'm not going to shy away from any political opinion. And I'm not going to claim, to be one party or another or anything like that. But what I am is for the common man as much as I can possibly be. And it's for the everyday person that is either down in their luck or just trying to get ahead to make a better life for their children, whatever it is. And those are the people that are being affected. And we're not any closer to a resolution. And that's what's sad.
Giancarlo, go ahead with the next question.
Wiana Taylor writes in, what was the hardest scene to film in Midnight Texas?
Aaron, did you hear that question?
No, I did not. I just was talking about the government shutdown.
Okay, go ahead, Giancarlo, ask it again.
Okay, Wiana Taylor writes in, what was the hardest scene to film in Midnight Texas?
So one of the hardest scenes to film. So I had never worn contacts before, and they put me in this, there's the demon makeup and the contacts and everything, and really, really cool looking. But I had to do this thing where I put a guy, through his door, and he fell in a swimming pool. And I was in the pool, and, I was just putting a little heat on his face, and I just remember, the water was getting in my eyes. And, that there's, punches that you would do in pro wrestling and then punches, that you would do for kind of a film and television. But, I mean, look, I know I say I'm not a wrestler and, that's what I used to do, but there are some things you just don't forget. And amongst those things, at the very top of the list is how to throw a fake punch at someone. So I was, I was doing my old punches, and apparently people thought I was really hitting them. So that was kind of funny, but the hardest thing was because the water was in my eyes and, I was, just all over the place and the contacts bothered me, but I had the presence of mind to just kind of grab them. And then through my pro wrestling training, it actually served me so well out here. So that's one thing that, got to say thank you to the business for, amongst other things, but.
Yeah. Steve, go ahead.
All right. Aaron Gernick, 25. Asks on your Instagram feed, did they ever approach you about the Muhammad Hassan character in OVW? And on a related note, when you see guys that get pitched characters that maybe they're not quite the biggest fans of, you know. You know, how do you go about trying to work whatever they're trying to pitch you and try and conform it to, you know, more of your style? Because I always find, and you've said this before on the show, that the best characters are extensions of yourself. So, you know, if you get a character and you're kind of like, oh, I don't know, you know, I feel like, those characters are destined to fail because the guy playing it doesn't believe it. So the question about the Muhammad Hassan character has come up before, and I know that, you know, that character was really controversial when it came out right after 9/11, and so were you approached with that character before? Is that something that you saw when you were in OVW?
No, but the guy that got it, so first of all, I was not approached with it, and the guy that got it was a guy by the name of Mark Magnus, who I thought did a great job portraying that character, and I thought he was the best man for the job.
Wow. All right. Let's get to the next question. Ever think about coming...
Oh, and you know what? I'm sorry. And the second part of the question? I was going to say, but no, like, at the end of the day, everyone is going to deal with whatever variable they're faced with differently, right? Whether that's something at, you know, a 9-to-5 job, or in the world of pro wrestling, something like, hey, here, you have to go do this character or try this, you know, go ahead, right? I mean, that's an issue that you have to get around. And one thing, again, I always approached it this way. I was never my character. Which is why I was able to slip into so many characters, right? I knew Intellectual Savior, right? Still my favorite character of this day, right? Like, but I know him. You know, again, know how he walks, what he thinks, you know, what he had for breakfast. You know, and okay, so that's the easy part, right? But that was not me. That was a character I was portraying. And, you know, when guys kind of are faced with different things, right, I am convinced, right, there is always a way out. It's like the MacGyver approach, right? you have to kind of like, you look at it as like, oh, they want to see me fail. They don't want to see me do good, so they give me this crap thing. Okay, well, you know what? Guess what else they're giving you? Time in front of a live crowd. No one can take away that from you. You know, go do your thing.
Yep.
Execute it to the best of your ability, you know, within the margins that you're given to play in. And just go from there.
All right.
And sometimes it is a uphill battle, you know. But just consistency and again, how you approach things like that, I found, you know, that there's always a way to think yourself out. That's how the stunt double.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I don't mean to hijack the conversation. That Muhammad Hassan character, I thought would have been, that was an ultimate heat getter. Right after 9/11, and I thought Sean Daivari's role in that was as critical as Mark's, because he was absolutely Iron Sheik, and I felt bad because, you know, that character got just absolutely blindsided, and I don't know if it was Mark's, you know, not unwillingness to go the extra mile and go all Iron Sheik and go really old school, because that could be an old school, like, causing riots at house shows.
Oh yeah,
type of character, agreed. especially with Sean Daivari with him.
Oh,
and
100% agree.
I think you know, for me, the opposite of that platform is watching the product now and seeing Mustafa Ali being like the ultimate white meat babyface as a Muslim character, and I think that's just as awesome as the Muhammad Hassan character was back in the day.
Although he got
absolutely, you know, it shows how far we've come. It really does. In just a few short years, how much more educated that society's becoming, and how much more open, you know, and then, you know, definitely headed in the right direction.
Well, Mustafa Ali got buried today by Samoa Joe. So, next question. Ever think about coming to Ireland to work for OTT sometime? OTT, in case you don't know, is over the top wrestling, and they have many, many stars. You know, the guy.
Did I respond to them on Twitter? I think I did.
Yes, you did respond. Actually, yeah. You had three or four responses, but you said you'll answer the question on the show also. So,
I will.
Go ahead.
The answer is yes, and absolutely. Like I would love to go to Ireland, but you know, again, where I'm not wrestling right now, kind of not in the cards. But again, I'm going to say this publicly as well. Ireland, some of the best fans I have ever performed in front of on a consistent basis. I mean, every time, if I knew I was in Dublin or I was in Belfast, no matter how tired I was, no matter how many days I was on the road, I would get so fired up for both of those buildings. And I have so many awesome memories overseas in both Dublin and Ireland. So I just want to give a little shout out to the Irish.
All right, Giancarlo, you close it out, and then we'll do rapid fire.
All right, Pick Perfect Page writes in, what's your opinion on YouTubers, and have you ever considered starting a channel of your own?
My opinion of YouTubers, I mean, hey, you got to get in where you fit in, you know, and that's a great, great thing. YouTube has been responsible for a lot of millionaires, and but it's also been responsible for, you know, ruining people's careers too. So again, it's all in how you use it. And I think if people are using social media, which in my opinion is a great thing, and they're using it to put a positive message out, you know, influence, inspire other people, you know, tutorials. Oh my God. You know, there was an issue with the trash disposal, and I just, you know, pull it up on YouTube. You learn how to do it. It's pretty cool. So, and yeah, and by the way, that's the first thing I've ever fixed by myself around the house, which is huge.
Attaboy.
I am really, again, a fan of social media and any kind of platform, including the 108 platforms that we're on. It's used in a positive way.
That's right. And don't forget, Aaron, you do your rapid fire, but people, fans, just send him things, questions, anything you want. On Instagram at the Aaron Falls, and don't forget his Twitter. It's Aaron's Thoughts. Go ahead with your rapid fire, Aaron.
Okay, first thing, you versus me. What do you thought? I think guy was trying to challenge me. I don't accept challenge. why recommend cooking ribs on the big green egg smoker? I am not a big meat eater anymore. However, I've eaten when I was eating meat. Definitely had the big green egg. Actually, Santino had it. Enjoyed many a meal off that big green egg, and that's both meat and vegetables alike. So I recommend the big green egg for cooking anything because, again, food's so good, even I won't mess it up, you know, that kind of deal. Okay, when am I returning to WWE? I don't know. Maybe never. Okay, we answered that one. Would I star in a web series under the Damian Sandow character, even in a different name? Exploring some literature and philosophy. You know what? That would be funny. I never really thought about that. The intellectual savior has his own like little world, or taking that character and kind of doing something else with it. Ah, who knows? You know. So there's an AEW question. Someone sent me a DM message. That was very nice of them. The controversy surrounding the Fabulous Moolah. What is the controversy surrounding the Fabulous Moolah?
Steve, you want to touch on this one?
Yeah, it has to do with Moolah.
I am out of touch, so.
Yeah, it has to do with the whole, you know, the stories coming out about Moolah basically stealing money from the women that she was training and basically
they made that
using
public?
Them. Yeah, it's part of the reason why a couple of years ago they did the Battle Royal. A couple of years ago, I mean, they were supposed to have the ladies' battle royal. Yeah, there was supposed to be the ladies' battle royal. It was supposed to be the Fabulous Moolah battle royal, and that story then came out, and WWE had to basically do the whole backup, and they basically had to get rid of anything that dealt with Moolah.
Wow. You know something? I guess I'm not sure. I just knew that, like, I heard stories, but I never met the woman, so I can't confirm or deny anything. you know, I'm not going to talk bad about someone that I never met. However, I did hear some stories, you know, but here and there. And, you know, again, it's all like all up to the individual. If it was something that has really like offended people and enough people said, look, we don't want her name attached to this, because, again, I forgive my ignorance. I just learned about this. You know, then again, I think it was the right move. And especially where society's going today, where, you know, the women are on par, you know, and even Trump, the men, you know, in some shows, from what I'm hearing and from the stuff I'm seeing, even on Instagram and everything, they are really, really putting on some awesome, awesome matches. And, you know, look, let's all be equal, you know, like let's not have, you know, people who oppress people, I guess, is the way. And, you know, I guess oppression is a term that only the individual can really define, like what is and what isn't. But, you know, look, bottom line, if it was made to make the world a better place, awesome. You know, and I guess if not, then whatever, you know, and the, to take like the Battle Royal name, you know, maybe it can honor all women, and then maybe that's something even better. I don't know. That's just, it's a shame though, again, that like we live in a time where, you know, I say it's a shame, but it's also a good thing in that, you know, so little time ago, the world was like a completely different set of conditions. And now, you know, as we become a little more understanding and a little more sympathetic and are trying to, you know, reach for a better world globally, and that goes for men, women, and everybody. When things like this get brought up, and especially like with people that have had legendary status for, you know, God knows how many years, you know, it's good we can head in that direction, and the tide has shifted. But, you know, it is also sad that that kind of thing went on and does continue to go on too. Like, let's not kid ourselves, but, yeah, I kind of, we got a little deep there, but that's my thoughts.
All right. Kenny Boland is a welcome on anytime on Ask Me Anything. And then again, a shout out to a caller in Elbow. Aaron, tell everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell everybody how they could get a hold of you to ask you questions for next week's show here on Ask Me Anything.
So, if you want, I will post the Ask Me Anything picture. And when I do that, you can just leave your comments below. They can be anything from wrestling to sports, current events. Again, keep it tasteful, please. And, yeah, we will answer on the show next week.
And next week, you'll give a preview what to expect, because you were in the ring for the Royal Rumble. Next week is the Royal Rumble there. So, you know, 20, 30 people in a Royal Rumble. Tell them what you can expect. Next week, we'll have it here. That's Aaron Stevens, formerly Damon Southbound. Remember, the Aaron Falls on Instagram. Send him a question. Steve, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Yeah, it's on Twitter and Instagram at Steve Carney. And check me out on 95.3 WDA and AM 620. Hopefully I sound a little better than this next week, which is on the iHeartRadio app.
And Giancarlo Alino, stop looking up Kenny Boland and tell everybody how
you're not going to want to miss that one.
I'm getting slowly more familiar with this work and looking forward to him being on here. But you can follow me on Twitter at John_411, Instagram at Giancarlo_Alino, and follow all my articles on barnburner.ca.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you,
Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.